ready? You think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, mostly Astros, but we worked in Woolly B with some college picks.
Hello, friends.
Including some action on tonight's game. So if you want to get to that, go to podcastarena.com. Whole thing will be right there. Tell you everything you need to know, including one of his plays tonight. So, jump right in on that podcast.
You'll also hear most of my plays tonight as well.
Yeah, you had a few. I didn't really have anything, but I agreed with a lot.
Okay, let's get it.
I like UCLA as well, which is one of the ones we talked about. But anyway, that's all on podcastarena.com. Go check it out. And you also hear a lot of Astro stuff, and that's about it. I did want to get to something because I was a little surprised by the – well, first off, I really wanted the Astros to win because – As much as I like the Jays, I mean, I'd be rooting for the Astros, and it would have automatically
it would have automatically
caused a divorce.
So, you think so?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it almost happened because of friggin' U.S. Canada hockey. But if it had been Astros and Blue Jays, because I love the Jays, and but
right.
You know, I'm an Astros guy. I mean, spent my whole life here. That's number one. And if they had somehow lost...
Can you just... I mean, does your wife know that the Blue Jays have a bunch of unlikable fellows on their team?
Yeah.
Is she okay with that, does it matter to her?
She doesn't care, because they got... It's like Rockets fans who don't care that they've got guys like that. I mean, if you're a fan, you're a fan.
I think that's what's happened to me, is I care less about what jersey you wear, and I like teams. I like groups of players that have been put together. So,
but see, why are you
which
not,
means my loyalties will change back and forth like the wind.
Well, this is why, and that's cool. I mean, my loyalties usually, with the exception of UH, my loyalties are going to be to whoever makes me the most money. But I'm a little surprised you don't like them, because you like Richard Sherman, and you know, he's a hot dog. That's what Batista is.
There's an interest between being a hot dog and being a douchebag.
Explain.
Jose Bautista is a douche. I mean,
people say the same thing about Richard Sherman.
He's like a Bryce Harper-level douche. Like, and what pisses me off mostly about Joey Bautista is that guy was a total scrub. And as soon as he got good, he started talking and started being a douche. I just don't have time for that. Like, just remember, guy, you got dropped in my fantasy league.
Oh, so that's what it's about. Now we know.
No. I'm just saying. If you're a guy... Jung,
oh, I was just curious.
Jung, how many guys in our fantasy league ever get dropped? There's 12 teams with 30-man rosters. It's pretty hard to get dropped in a league like that. Yes or no?
Like dropped as in like...
Like dropped to waivers. Not traded, but just like, you know what? This guy is so useless, he's not going to be on the team.
You have to be pretty bad, because I hold on to... If you have a glimmer of hope...
You hold on to him.
I held on to John Singleton for the longest time.
Okay.
And I before that, I held on to Brett Wallace.
Yeah.
The AAA All-Star for the slight hope that he could turn out to be a functional
hitter. So put that into perspective. If Brett Wallace or Jonathan Singleton came back and suddenly got good and then talked like they've been God's gift this entire time, wouldn't that be frustrating to you?
If you dropped him, yeah.
No, I didn't drop him. I didn't drop him. But I'm just saying that's how crappy he was that he got dropped in that league. That guy was a scrub, 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 and that's the other thing.
But he's
is there any doubt that dude's a roid head?
Yeah, but when did you start caring about that?
No, I don't.
Okay,
I'm just saying. But is there any doubt?
Not in my mind, no. But
nobody's that crappy and then hits 50 home runs. That just doesn't happen.
It sure does. Remember Brady Anderson?
Yeah, exactly.
Lenny, never mind. Richard Hidalgo. But you know what? He's been pretty good for a while now, though. I mean, it's
he has been.
And but
then they threw beer on a baby last night, Fred.
Oh no, the fans were ridiculous, and that I have to I want to get to that in a minute, but first, I was surprised at how many. As I was going through all the websites that I usually do for, you know, to get some stuff for the show,
mm-hmm.
how many people were talking about how cool the bat flip was. And yeah, I thought it was too much. I think we, in baseball especially, people criticize too much when guys are exuberant because it's, you know, we've talked about the stupid rules in baseball. But I'm just kind of curious because I didn't like it. I don't like staring at the pitcher. I didn't like the pitcher's reaction either, by the way. I think he was out of line.
Which, by the way, the pitcher tries to start a fight with the next guy.
Yeah, who was trying to calm the crowd down.
Yeah.
And he goes up and starts to pick it. He was being a little bitch, too. But
which, by the way, I don't feel sorry for Rangers fans who were mad about the bat flip, because that bat flip should have never happened. If you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at Elvis Andrews, who is the reason that the Rangers are at home right now. You want to be mad at somebody.
Yeah, but I was just curious what your thoughts were on that. Was that over the top? Because I honestly,
that's something that's going to get you drilled in the neck.
Yeah.
I don't really care about that kind of stuff. I notice it more when it's a guy like Joey Bautista or Bryce Harper than I would if it was, you know, a guy like Edwin Encarnacion, who I don't think is a total a-hole on that team. It would be different. But I think because it was him, it was magnified. It was at home, though. So, I mean, obviously,
here's my thought. I don't think it's that bad. I think baseball is full of whiny little bitches. And we were making fun of them yesterday when they were doing their fake fight.
That's what they were doing. They were all out there bumping chests and yelling at each other.
And I love it how the Rangers pitcher is talking about, calm down. And you're the one who's starting other fights and getting everything riled up again. And I'll get that crowd in a second. But I was just trying to figure out, how is this any different than Carlton Fisk dancing down the line trying to wave a ball in? These are guys who are excited in a huge moment. It bothers me less. If he does that in week 7 when they're beating the Rays, or game 7 of the season beating the Rays, you plunk him right in the face. But a 3-run shot, especially considering the way they'd blown the lead there, didn't really bother me that much.
Yeah, there's guys you remember... a guy who used to get a lot of grief for stuff like that was Manny Ramirez.
Yeah.
And Manny Ramirez would stand there until the ball went over the fence, and then he would start trotting, and it would take him a minute and a half to get around the bases. And I think it's just a matter of what you think of the team or because if someone who is already obnoxious to you does that, it just intensifies the obnoxiousness of it. That's all. And Joey Bautista is one of those guys who, if you're a Blue Jays fan, you probably really like him a lot. If you're not a Blue Jays fan, you probably think that he's a tool.
You know what he is? He's a better Carlos Gomez.
He is a better Carlos Gomez. Carlos Gomez is the same thing. The
exact same thing.
And, you know, he's one of those guys who, when he makes a catch in the outfield, he, acts like he just finished a magic trick and throws his arms out to, look at what I've just done. And when those guys are on your team, you enjoy them. If they're not on your team, you're like, oh, this guy is an asshat.
You know what he is? He's the guy who makes the tackle on 3rd and 15, 16 yards down the field. He makes a big hit and gets up and celebrates.
Oh, yes. He's Antonio Smith.
Yes. There you go.
That's a good
stupid-ass ninja.
Yeah, I do my ninja move when I sack the backup quarterback when we're down 30.
Exactly.
Okay, cool ninja move, bro.
But no, I it didn't bother me. It kind of surprised me that there was reaction to it. Some people, this is the greatest thing ever. I don't know if it was that. It was just, it was an amazing moment. And the guy reacted the way that I would hope somebody would react in a big situation. What are you supposed to do? Just kind of trot around the bases there? I don't know. I mean, that was a huge play in a huge situation. So
that's another, and this one was a little bit different than the McHugh situation, because Hamill's pitch count was already at 110, 111. But after those errors, I don't know if I pull Hamels, because he's the best pitcher you have, and B, you're going to, I guess Sam Dyson's been pretty good this year, but I'd feel a lot better getting out of that inning with Cole Hamels than I would letting Sam Dyson face the best hitter on the other team.
Yeah,
you know,
and the thing is, I thought that maybe I would have left him in too, but at that point, I mean, how frustrated is he getting? Does he make a mistake because he's frustrated? Because, hey, I'm doing everything right, and these guys are throwing the ball all over the yard. How many times you see that happen with a pitcher who's pitching his ass off?
And yeah.
To
me, it's just a matter of – I feel like managers are too quick with the hook in the playoffs. Like, they in the regular season, they let guys work through stuff.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, that just doesn't happen. And when you're – you know, when your best pitcher, your not just your best pitcher, the Rangers' best player is Cole Hamels. You know, he's a guy who's he's been a World Series hero. You're going to trust a guy in the playoffs? That's the guy I want to go out with. You know what I mean? And it's not like
when you say go out with, you mean
that's not the guy I want to. It's not the guy that I want to. I'd much rather lose with Cole Hamels on the mound than lose with Sam Dyson on the mound, is what I'm getting at.
Okay, that makes sense. I thought you wanted to date
I don't want to date Cole Hamels. He's a handsome guy.
I was confused. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's not my type.
I'll tell you what doesn't confuse me. Well, actually, it does confuse me because you guys have been taking my money every week on FanDuel. Well, you got another chance. We've got a new tournament open, and it's filling fast. So if you want to get in, all you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Fowler. Get in there. It's $5. You can win $200 if you win the tournament. And I'll tell you what. Great opportunity to get your name called on the air when you win, because that's what we've been doing. And it's been a lot of fun the first few weeks. A lot of blitzers are winning money. Now you can do it as well. If you're not familiar with FanDuel, it's a leader in one-week fantasy football. The money is real. They're expecting to pay out $2 billion this year, and it's easy to build a team. You just pick your players, stand to the salary cap, sit back, and watch your team beat mine. Entry fees are as low as $1, so if you don't want to play our $5 league, you can get in there for $1 and play for that. And if you want to play for real money, you can do that as well. Here's what you do. If you're not a member of FanDuel right now, go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code FOWER, and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200. It gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code FOWER today. Don't forget to use the code F-A-O-U-R. And if you're already signed up on FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/Fowler right now. Get signed up and beat my butt this week. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. Sign up today.
It's been a while since I can say that I'm...
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. We'll grab some phone calls this segment. But first, just a couple follow-ups on that. One texter said, read an article today that brought up a good point. Batista and most of these foreign players grow up different cultures. We celebrate birthdays, holidays, etc.
He's a 30-year-old man now. Yeah. He's been in the league a long time. He knows, like...
Yeah, but you're over 30, and you act like a knucklehead sometimes.
Here's the thing,
too.
Fred. This is what... And this is the thing that bothers me about Joey Bautista in particular. He's the guy... If somebody else on the other team does that, he's the first guy who will get in their face and talk smack. And, you know, he's... Everything offends him. He remembers every inside pitch that gets thrown his way.
Carlos Gomez.
He is. He remembers everything, and he hates all of it except when he does it. And then when he does it, it trumps everything that's been done to him by 10.
This is a bigger issue than just him, because this is pretty common. And the bat flips and everything has become pretty common, and people want to blame it on all kinds of stuff. And one of them, you know, some people want to blame it on foreign-born players. Some people want to blame it on millennials. I just think it's... Maybe baseball needs a little more of this.
Maybe so.
I mean,
if I had to choose between that and the guys like Jonathan Papelbon who choke the guys like Joey Bautista, I'll probably take the guys like Joey Bautista and Bryce Harper. But let me ask you this, Fred. What happens to the internet less? And by the way, the bat flip, I didn't have a big problem. If there was ever a time to pimp a home run, that was it. You know that I mean.
Yeah,
I didn't. We sat here and watched that inning that took like 50 minutes and was a total clown show, and this dude just basically makes everybody forget about it because with that swing. So if you're ever going to, you know, flip your bat and stare at a home run, that's the time to do it. That said, if everything else is the exact same, and that's Alex Rodriguez at the plate, except instead of Jose Bautista, the internet kills Alex Rodriguez for flipping that bat. Kills him. Kills him to death.
But that's being a Yankee and being A-Rod.
That's A-Rod before he was a Yankee. I mean, they would have killed him then, too.
No, I don't think they would have. A-Rod was he was a big star, but you go to the Yankees, it's a different animal. I mean, I think that's why he would have gotten destroyed, because all the steroid stuff happened when he was with the Yankees.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why it became a huge deal. I mean, nobody talks about McGuire. They don't talk about A-Rod. No. So... But
A-Rod's the best player that's, you know, A-Rod and Barry Bonds are the best players that have played baseball in my lifetime. So that's why they get talked about. McGuire was a good player, but he wasn't on the level of those. That's why
the home run champ for a while, which is a bigger deal than any of that.
That's true.
So I just think, to me, I'm okay with people reacting in the moment, and that's fine. Would I have done it? Probably not, but I'm an old man, and if I had hit that home run, I'd have been excited, but my first thing would have been get around the bases and make sure you touch them all.
Yeah.
I would be thinking about doing something stupid because I was out of the moment. But the one thing I want to talk about are the crowds, and this will probably get me divorced, but I got to tell you, some of the, and I have a lot of Canadian friends, family, your sports fans are awful. And this is not the only time that you've pulled something like this. And look, we have our bad ones too. Anytime anything happens in Michigan, they're rioting.
Right.
We have riots all over the place here. But, you know, those riots in Vancouver when they lost the cup were just stupid. That performance yesterday was ridiculous. I get your frustration, but throwing beers from the third deck so that a beer can lands on a woman and spills beer all over a baby. What the bleep,
man?
Who
throws beer on a baby?
And you know what? I'm not so sure Houston fans wouldn't have acted the same way.
But I like to think they wouldn't have, but
I don't know. We've got some knuckleheads here, too. And I think it's a little more heightened because they don't have a lot of sports up there that we see. So when they do, but you know what? They were a-holes during the Olympics, too, when the Olympics were in Vancouver. And I don't know if it's a penis envy thing of the rest of the world. I don't know what the hell it is with their sports, but that was embarrassing. And see it at hockey games, too. And we got them here, and we talk about them here all the time.
Right.
In general, great people, friendly people. Boy, don't get them drunk at a sporting event. That was just embarrassing. So for those of you who think I defend Canada all the time, I got to tell you, that was an embarrassment to God and everybody.
Shame. Manish, who has a Blue Jays foam finger in his profile picture on Twitter, says, name one steroid or drug scandal Bautista has been tied to. Dude has been consistent since 2010. Cool. That's when he found a good masking agent. Because before that, listen to this. 2006, which by the way, 2006 was his first full year in the majors. He bounced around to three different teams before then. Finally settled down for a year in Pittsburgh. 16 home runs. 15, 15, 12, 13, in 2009, 2010, 54, 43, 27 in an injury-shortened year, 28 in an injury-shortened year, 35, 40. Do you really think that suddenly he just like, oh, I found this hole in my swing it's never been here before in my life, and now I've fixed this one problem I've had, and now all of a sudden I'm Babe Ruth? Be realistic. And I don't care if guys do steroids. Listen, I advocate it. If you can mask it, that's fine. But don't pretend like you don't think he's on steroids. Stop it. I don't care if he's been caught or not. I mean, I'm a sensible human being who sees a guy go from 13 home runs a year to 54, and that sends off alarm bells.
I wish Carlos Correa would get on whatever he's on.
Carlos Correa doesn't need it.
You imagine what that guy would be in 2 years?
He doesn't need it.
A-Rod?
Yeah, be A-Rod.
Just don't get caught.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. To me, long as he's a J, he can do whatever he wants. As long as they win. I don't care. But I'm like that with guys. I'm a little different from you. I don't have to like them. If they go out there and hit home runs, team I like wins, I'm all for them.
And that's the thing. I don't like teams. But I mean, I like I said, I like teams because, as groups of players, not as uniforms. So, you know, I like this Royals team. To me, they are so easy to cheer for. And I just don't find the Blue Jays easy to cheer for, especially after yesterday. Like, their fans are just trolls.
Their fans were embarrassing, there's no question. But, yeah, to me, the Royals are, they're like the Pirates. It's nice to see them finally get there, but it was a great story last year. I'm out on them.
Okay. But I'm out on Canadians winning our game. All right.
Dude, we finally, the game that's played by Dominicans and guys from Puerto Rico, that's our game. Get the hell out of here.
We invented it. And we've already stolen Canada's game from them. They can't win a Stanley Cup to save their lives. Now they're coming down here to try to take our game? No thanks.
Well,
we must protect our games.
Our game is the one that is played on a 100-yard field.
Let them be good at women's hockey. That's what I'm willing to give them. Women's hockey and curling.
Get out of here with baseball being our game.
That's our game.
Football is our game. When they can beat us at that,
that's ours too.
They can talk.
They'll never beat us at that. My dead body.
Our American game that's played by Dominicans. Well played, sir. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. We can turn this
thing around. ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz Fantasy Football segment, brought to you by FanDuel. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Lance said Houston fan would have just fought the baby. No, I think Houston fan probably would have given cocaine to the baby, based on what we saw at the Game 3. All right, time for a little fantasy talk. Joining us, as he does every week, fantasy football expert, runs harrisfootball.com, always one of the more entertaining segments of the week. Christopher Harris joins us. What's up, Mr. Harris?
Hey, Fred and AJ, what's going on?
Sports and stuff like that, Chris.
I hear you.
So as we head into to this week, my first question is, how are your fantasy teams doing? Let's start with that.
I think I got all winners to this point. I think I have a 4-1, I have a 3-2. And then I have a league that I sort of did for the industry that I'm paying not that much attention to, but I'm also 3-2 in that one.
Let me ask you this, because this is happening to me in a league, and I find it very frustrating. It's hard not to make a bunch of changes because you feel like you've got to. But I have scored the second most points in my league, and I'm sitting at 2-3. 2 weeks in a row now, I would have beat everybody in the league that I played except for the team that I played. I mean, at what point do you start to kind of panic about what your team's doing, or do you just say that that's just kind of luck of the draw sometimes and you stick with what you're doing?
Yeah, I think it's luck of the draw, right? I mean, you literally, if you'd been playing against any of 10 other people, you would have won. And, you know, odds are most weeks you had about a 9% chance of that happening, and it happened to you. But, you know, as long as the team keeps performing as well as it has, you should be fine most weeks. And of course, that's not what's going to get you in the end. You know, what's going to get you in the end is the random bad performance that your team throws in right when you think they've got it all together, or the injury. You know, I mean, the fact is there's a lot of randomness to this. But I think just, you know, that's a nice problem to have, even though it's frustrating, because, you know, it beats the alternative of feeling like, you know, you're 2-3, but maybe didn't earn it exactly. And gosh, you know, or maybe I'm 3-2, but I have a low fantasy point total. And gosh, you know, I know these guys probably aren't good enough to keep winning, but they're winning, and I feel like I don't want to trade them away, but I probably should. You know, I feel like that's almost a worse problem to have.
Christopher, I'm guessing tonight there's a lot of Falcons offensive players you'd want to invest in.
Sure, but, you know, there are some interesting Saints guys, too. It's difficult for me to imagine this as a defensive struggle, which, of course, is exactly the moment when it turns into a defensive struggle. But you're right. I mean, how can you go away from Devontae Freeman? I talked about him on last week's segment as a sell high, and you know, but I still rated him as a top 10 fantasy running back for that week, and I have him that way again this week. And Matt Ryan isn't a top 10 fantasy quarterback quite yet, but that's got a lot to do with Devontae Freeman. You know, I think that eventually will level out a little bit. I think he's a pretty good start, and Julio Jones is probable with that hamstring. Of course, it can happen that, you know, he winds up being a decoy and doesn't produce, and that stinks. But what stinks more, I had a Twitter follower actually remind me of that Brandon Marshall game against the 49ers last year, where he was coming in on one leg and a lot of people sat him, and he scored 3 touchdowns. And from my perspective, I can't deal with it when that happens. I'd rather take the donut from Julio rather than see him go off for 30 points on my bench.
In tonight's game, Willie Snead, a guy for the Saints who it looks like he's kind of moved up on the depth chart there and has become a big-time target for them. What do you think of his long-term viability?
You know, not a ton. I think he's done it via volume, and you don't want to sneeze at volume. Clearly, volume is nice for fantasy. We want a lot of targets for our receivers. And you know, I think his ascendancy corresponds with Marcus Colston really kind of falling off, and that's a player that we all kind of saw that coming. You know, really, once he was going to slow down, he didn't do much else, you know. And so, you know, I think Snead is a fine player, kind of average in most ways, but, you know, fairly reliable on the short stuff and has had some short catches and longer runs. Brandon Cooks is a lot more talented as a player, but, you know, absolutely the production difference between them isn't too super strong. I think Cooks is the guy likely to win you a week and be, you know, sort of a big play guy, whereas Snead, maybe a PPR, he's a little more interesting, but I don't yet see too much sort of game-breaking talent.
Christopher Harris, our guest, harrisfootball.com. Great podcast, all kinds of terrific information. All right, since the segment is sponsored by FanDuel, we're going to do our FanDuel 5 here. I'm going to give you five running backs today that, if I'm going to try to go cheap, are these the guys you would take? So just for the listeners out there who have not heard us do this before, and I have to say, the last couple of weeks, you've done really good at giving them the right guy out of those five. So I'm sure you will do it again.
Well, you only usually give him one guy that's not worth vomiting over. So,
but they're all the same. They're all roughly the same price. Well, last week it was Mike Vick. You get Mike Vick out of the five guys. That you can't tell me he's not vomit worthy.
Well, but I mean, didn't you? Well, okay.
Never mind. Yeah. Of course, also Bortles was in there. I guess you could have.
I was
going
to say he passed on Bortles, but I didn't want to bust. I didn't want to burst his bubble.
All right. Well, these are all vomit worthy. So we want the least vomit worthy guy who might jump up and have a good game. And I'm looking at with the Jamal Charles situation and not sure what's going to go on there. What about Nile Davis at only 5,500 this week?
I mean, if you told me Charkandrick West was even cheaper than that, which I think he is, I think I'd prefer him over Nile Davis. We don't really know how that Chiefs backfield is going to go, right? I mean, we're told that West is a lot more like Charles skills-wise, and that has worked out pretty well for Charles in that offense. But Nile Davis is a known quantity, and he's a big, fast kid. And you remember him from his SEC days, and I can absolutely see him having an okay week. Like I don't hate Nile Davis this week at all, but I think I'd prefer West.
West is actually 6,200, so he's $700 more.
All right, well, I'll take Davis then. I feel okay with that so
all
far.
Right. How about looking to reprise what he's done to him in the past at 6,500, LeGarrette Blount against the Indianapolis Colts?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one I also feel okay about taking. Part of me thinks this is a Patriots double cross. We all know that all they've done is stomp all over the Colts, but now the Colts have drafted a couple of young defensive tackles, you know, the Stanford kid and one other kid, and you know, maybe this is a double cross where they actually employed Deion Lewis a bunch, but, you know, maybe I'm also overthinking it. So I would say Blount is a good play.
Well, with the Patriots, you always have to overthink it, right? I mean, you never know what they're going to do. All right. A tough matchup at Buffalo, but Jeremy Hill at 6,400. Is there a reason to look at him?
Yeah. I mean, these guys are frustrating, but it feels like, you know, number two fantasy running backs are just frustrating now. And, you know, depending on game flow, Hill, I think in three of five games, Hill has played fewer than 20 snaps. How crazy is that? And it's really based on, you know, they've been behind him. Against Seattle, they were trailed the whole game. I think he played 17 snaps. And unfortunately, anyone who drafted Jeremy Hill thought he was a feature back, period, right? He wouldn't be game flow dependent at all. But yes, I mean, if definitely there's a scenario where he scores three touchdowns again.
What do you do about Melvin Gordon at this point? He's at 6,500, and obviously that's a tough matchup in Green Bay, too.
Yeah, I mean, I like him as a player. It isn't a good matchup. It isn't someone who I would feel, you know, relative to some of the other guys we've talked about. I think Blount so far, even though he's a trash bag and somebody I don't like as a player, but probably like him better. I mean, you know, Gordon, it was nice to see on Monday night they started throwing to him a little bit later in the game. He certainly has really good balance. I mean, you see him take a bunch of hits and stay on his feet, but Danny Wooden is not going away, and that's the issue with him.
And finally, Rashad Jennings is my fifth.
Yeah, that's one where you talk about a bad matchup, and the Eagles up front are stout. You know, that I don't know which running back will get used, and I think I would stay away from all three of the Giant running backs there. So I guess I wound up with probably my least favorite in a vacuum of all the players you mentioned. I wound up with LeGarrette Blount. Blah.
The Cardinals backfield situation, I mean, I'm guessing it's going to end up being much like the Redskins situation, except with better players. But it looks like they want to go more with Johnson, and then Ellington comes out and breaks off a big run and looks like he's fully healthy again. What do you expect as far as how they're going to divvy up the touches this week?
Well, you know, usage is always the hardest thing to know, because anybody who's not in that meeting room is not getting the info. You know, they just have no incentive to tell us for sure what's going to happen. But I will say, just from evaluating game tape, it was Chris Johnson's best game. You know, it was a blowout, so he didn't have to play real seriously for too long, but he played really well while he was in there. Still doesn't really cut anymore. You know, it's not really in his wheelhouse. But the acceleration is real. His top-end speed is real. If I were looking at that tape as a coach, despite Ellington's big play, I think Ellington played maybe three snaps. If I was a coach, I would still be thinking that Chris Johnson's my primary guy. I don't expect that to last all year. I think you're right, it devolves into some kind of timeshare that's annoying, but for the moment, I feel okay about Chris Johnson.
All right, that's Christopher Harris, fantasy football expert. Christopher, tell him a little bit about the website and your podcast.
HarrisFootball.com, and you can learn about the podcast there. But basically, we do a podcast every weekday, and I have a new different guest every day, and it's usually a luminary from the fantasy world. I've been lucky enough to have pretty much anyone who's anyone on for me to pick their brain, and I think folks have found it fun, and I can't believe how many people listen to it. I'm very appreciative. It's a huge hit, and I did not expect it.
Well, we expected it. How long have we been doing this together, man? You're a star.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. I mean, ESPN for 8 years and didn't have a daily podcast, and now on my own and have one, and yeah, it blew up. I'm happy.
All right, Christopher. Always a pleasure talking to you, man. Looking forward to next week.
Me too. Thank you very much, guys. I love being on.
All right.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about DFC Interior Cleaning. If you see dirt stains or mud tracks on your carpets or rug, if there's dirt you can see, just imagine what you can't see with the naked eye, all the bacteria and allergens and flea eggs. DFC is your one-stop resource for all your carpet, tile, and upholstery needs. Save yourself time by trusting DFC to do the job for you and do it right the first time. I've used DFC at my home in Austin. I use them here in Houston, and they've done fantastic work for me every single time. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals. Not just Houston's, they're statewide now. They don't use soaps. They don't use chemicals, which can damage your carpet fibers. They've got non-toxic patented pre-spray along with super water and truck-powered equipment, and their technology is really what sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they're not going to come back. And it's not just carpet. They do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, all with their unique patented technology. Call now. You'll get a free family four-pack to the Texas Renaissance Festival with any purchase, and then when you come home from the Ren Fest, you're going to come home to a clean house. That's always a good feeling. And a clean home always begins with a light, brand-new feel of clean carpets. Call 281-347-8373. That's 281-347-8373. Or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for DFC Interior Cleaning.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And what do I have to tell you? Do I have giveaways here today? I think I do. I have some Dynamo stuff to give away. First, I have to tell you, playing the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday game and win $100. It's absolutely free to play. We're having happy hour at Buffalo Wild Wings on Washington from 5 until 7 right now. The top point scorer wins $100 and will be invited to play in the finals for a chance to win $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link at Buffalo Wild Wings from Jason Braddock and the ESPN 97.5 Road Crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light. So there you go. Another guy who doesn't drink, Jason Braddock.
He doesn't?
No.
That guy seems like a guy who would drink.
Yeah, I know.
Chung, what's going on? Why do you keep hiring guys who don't drink?
I don't. That's not when I when they come in. I don't ask them if they drink or not. Maybe I should.
It's like the NFL Combine. Like they, you know, you got to ask them everything.
I don't want to say anything.
Say, when is the last time you were high? And if they say, I don't get high, just be like, okay, and then just mark down that they're a liar. And if you say, when's the last time you got drunk? Like guys like Braddock and Bunin and Raheel all would have said, I don't drink.
Doesn't John make up for Raheel? Because John drinks like a fiend.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, John and Fred and I make up for a lot around here. How much does Salisbury drink?
I don't know.
Sean can put it away. Okay. He doesn't drink as often as we do, but when he does, he can play.
But you are less of a drinker than you used to be.
I have slowed down a lot, yeah.
I haven't been drinking around Granado lately. I'm guessing as much grief as he's getting, you know, with his daughter driving his car into everything, it's got to make him want to drink. Yeah. By the way, I gave Granado some grief today about his daughter.
Shocker.
I wasn't listening to the show.
Oh, I was.
Yeah, Jong was.
If you guys want to go back to podcastarena.com, it happened around 12:20.
Okay.
Is that when you came in?
Somewhere around then.
Maybe it was like 12:40.
I think it was like the 12:30 to 12:45 segment. They had her in here.
Yeah, I think he brought her in because I think they had a funeral to go to at like 1:30 or something. And,
okay.
And she was in studio and they had a little chat with her.
Well, Jong tells me, we get into the parking lot at the same time and we're going upstairs and, you know, Jong says, Granado's daughter's on the air right now. And I was like, really? I said, oh, okay. So my mind starts working of how I'm going to play this on to John. And my initial plan was to walk in between segments and pretend like I already knew her. And I was going to be like, what are you doing here? Did you tell your dad? And make that uncomfortable thing happen. But when I walked in here, she wasn't here. So instead, I asked Granado and Raheel, I said, hey, guys, did you guys... you guys see that honey walking around out there? And Granado says, dude, that's my daughter. And I said, oh, man, I'm really – I had no idea. So before their next segment starts, his daughter walks in and I say, hey, just play along with this. And we walk into the studio holding hands. And I said, like, Granado, I got to tell you something. But, you know, good times.
We'll make that the Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
Oh, okay.
That little story.
I didn't know we had one.
We did, but.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
I'll save it for tomorrow, but worker ants are actually lazy.
Fred's Dark Side says Raheel should place AJ, would make the show even better. So, and then he says hashtag dead weight. That's me, Fred.
You're dead?
Yeah.
You know,
I just don't prepare for the show. I don't do any work.
We may all be dead. We just don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to get metaphysical about it.
Oh, that was deep.
We could be someone's dream right now. We could be computer programs. How do we know?
Red pill or blue pill?
I would have taken the green pill, but that's me. Anyway, interesting. A lot of people freaking out because of this thing coming out of Nevada. Did you see this? The Nevada Gaming Control Board has banned daily fantasy sports websites from Nevada. Says it's gambling and therefore must be regulated. In other words, Nevada, which gets all the money that it needs, is trying to get more money. Yeah, they're gonna make them pay to be licensed, and that's
what
all
do you mean
means.
They're banning websites? Like they're not letting you go to websites?
Well, you can't. If I'm not mistaken, and I know we have listeners over there who can tell us this. Pretty sure in Louisiana you can't get on FanDuel. And the sites will not allow you if the state does not allow it. I ran into this with horse racing sites because our state does not allow us to bet on horse racing sites.
North Korea?
Which is really dumb. What the sites will do, if the state will sue the sites if they do it, so they cut you off. And what is really dumb about that is instead of me betting on a site where the money goes into the pools locally, I have to play on Bovada where The horse racing people get nothing for that. So this stuff is, well, I mean, if I were to play on Bovada, let me just clarify that. If I were to play horses on Bovada, apparently it says you can't get it in Arizona either. But there is a there's a horse racing website that I have an account on that if I sign in from Texas, it gives me options to bet no tracks. But if I sign in and say I'm in Louisiana, I can play whatever I want.
What the hell?
Yeah. It's a crazy world, man.
It's communism, man. I don't like
it
that.
It is communism.
Who do I need to vote for to get rid of that?
Me?
No, it's not worth it to me then. I'm not willing to take that risk, bro.
Wow. What's the worst thing that could happen?
I don't know.
Legal weed?
I don't even know. No, that's one of the good things that could happen, but I don't know.
Beer holidays? You have 5 days, 5 days a year, national beer holidays?
I got to get on Steve Bunin's holiday schedule. I am really thinking about converting to Judaism because that dude has unlimited holidays. This is, I mean.
I'll be honest. I don't remember the last time I saw Steve.
No, I don't think he works here anymore. Or else he's, I don't know what's going on.
You know what's funny is when we first hired Steve, Steve kind of gave me like all his holidays. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of, I kind of model my, you know, management with Dave. Dave really didn't care how, you know, when you submit your vacation, he was like, yeah, just, you know, take your time off, enjoy your time off. So I was like, oh, yeah, Steve just.
No, he told you that. He told me, hey, try not to take time off during football season.
Oh, did he?
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's sports radio rule number one is, if you're going to be gone for a couple weeks, do it springtime, like before before March Madness, or in the summertime when nothing's going on.
Absolutely.
That's a simple sports radio rule.
A day here and there during football season is not a big deal.
That's not a big deal, but a week or two is rough.
Yeah, and so he was like, yeah, I'm gonna go to Brazil for about a week in October. I was like, okay, and then.
And by about a week, he meant a month?
No, but he never. He never told me about these Jewish holidays that he needed to be off. So I think for the last, I want to say a month and a half, I've only seen him like four or five times.
Yeah, that's a pretty big Jewish holiday stretch.
Man.
There's some big ones there.
Well, couldn't he have taken the Jewish holidays in Brazil and not taken the vacation and just like, you know, been down there praying and stuff?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
Well,
I know Craig wasn't too happy about that.
I need to figure it out because I'm pretty sure I'm feeling more Jewish than I did last year. So it might be time for a change in my life.
I used to be married to a Jew, so I should be able to get all these.
You
days
got the
off.
Schedule maybe, written down somewhere?
Maybe you can get half.
Your kids are half Jewish.
Yeah, so I should be able to get at least half of those, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's make that happen.
Yeah. Would I just have to like say, hey, guys, I'm Jewish now, and then you guys, I get the time off, right?
No, I don't think that's how it works.
Why does it work that way for Steve? It's his religion.
Barry is also Jewish, and he hasn't taken all that time off.
Hmm. There's different levels of
Barry's
Jewish.
Barry's only taken maybe one or two of those Jewish holidays off.
Well, I would just say this. It wouldn't matter anyway, because there's no way we'd take that much time off, even if we
had. No. I don't worry about you guys.
Well, maybe you should start worrying. All right. One place you don't have to worry about, Tupelo's. And if you're going, you want to go someplace tonight, watch the college games, watch the NFL game, watch the baseball all in one place and be able to see them all. How about Tupelo's? It's your football home. Monday night, we're going to be out there for Monday Night Football. They've got a great staff, amazing food. It's not your average sports bar menu. And you guys have heard us talk about it a lot when we're there, when we're not there. We love it. Chip and the gang do a great job. We had a great time at their golf tournament on Monday. And, just if you're looking for a home away from home, you're looking for a neighborhood bar, the kind of place you can go to all the time, this is it. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring, and you can bring the family. It's actually a very cool place for the whole family, and it doesn't – and you know, it doesn't matter whether you have kids there or not. It all works. You're not out of place either way. So go check them out. If you're heading up that way for some reason, go have some lunch there, man. Try those hamburgers. They're terrific. You got a great beer selection as well. We're out there all the time telling you it's the kind of place that you are going to love. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. Tell them we sent you. Go out there and have a great time. Check out the drink specials. That's Tupelo's, Tupelo's.com.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.